Well, for my last night, I would like to read with you two verses in the Bible, and by the grace of God, I would like to bring to your attention, some of you here may not know the Lord Jesus, and I'd like to bring to your attention the extremely dangerous position you find yourself in. But you read with me one verse in the 8th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and one verse in the Gospel of John. I'm sure that both of them, perhaps you could quote from memory. The 8th chapter of the book of Jeremiah in verse 20 reads like this. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. Well, let me read you a verse in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of John. 7th chapter of the Gospel of John and verse 43. So there was a division among the people because of him. I want to be very serious tonight by the help of the Spirit of God, and I would like to you to very seriously and solemnly consider what I believe God would like to have you hear tonight. There was a division among the people because of him, because of Christ. You know, that's true in the world. There's a division today amongst nations because of the Lord Jesus. It's not communism versus democracy. It's not communism versus capitalism, but it's the enemy of men's soul versus the Lord Jesus. It's that what God said at the beginning, that he should put enmity between her seed and his. There's a division in nations. There's a division in our nation today. The reason is not different religious. The reason is not different beliefs, but the reason is the Lord Jesus. The nation of which you and I are a part was founded upon the fact that we have freedom of religion. And the day in which we live, it's fast approaching that we're going to have freedom from religion. When our forefathers established the Constitution, they made it very plain that men could worship as he pleased. Today that privilege is fast being taken away from us. It's no longer freedom of religion, but it's freedom from religion. Because of the Lord Jesus, the divisions in families. Some of the family belong to him. Others don't. Some are on the way to glory. Others are on the way to darkness. Some are on the way to heaven. Others are on their way to hell. And it's because of him. It's not a difference of opinion. It's not a difference of what you think. It's not a difference even of what you believe. But it's because of him. The line of demarcation is the person of the Lord Jesus. The line that separates families is Christ. Father may be going to heaven. Mother may be going to darkness. Mother may be going to heaven and father may be going to darkness. Father and mother may be on their way to heaven and children may be on their way to a lost eternity. And it's because of Christ. It's what you do with him. It's what you believe he is to you will mark your eternal destination. It's what you do with the Lord Jesus that will settle where you'll spend eternity. And as it was in the days when he lived on earth, it's the same way in the days in which you and I live. It's Christ that divides people. It's not his intention. Because he came that all men everywhere might be saved. But it's the result. Some of us have received him into our hearts, and consequently, our sins are gone. Some of you have still rejected him. And consequently, you're in your sins, and if you die in them, you'll be raised in them. And the Lord Jesus says, where I am, ye cannot. Not ye will not, but ye cannot come. And he said it to people that were living on earth. He looked at the crowd, and he saw what was in their heart. And he said to them, where I am, ye cannot come. I know he stood outside of that city that he loved one day. And he looked down upon us, and he spread out his arms. And he said to them, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathered her chicks, but ye would not. But he faced the same people. And he said to them, where I go or where I am, ye cannot come. They were beyond help and beyond hope. And I say it reverently. I believe there are souls living in the world today that are beyond hope and beyond help. They have so often and so many times hardened their hearts against the pleadings and the grace of God that even God can't reach them anymore. He didn't say, where I am, ye will not come, but he said, ye cannot come. They were beyond the reach of Christ. And a division was made. And I'd like to suggest to you tonight, there may be someone here that has heard this story many times. You've listened to it by word of mouth. You've seen it as you did last night in the picture, and on Monday or Tuesday night. You've hardened your heart against him. Let me warn you tonight that the Bible says, he that has often been reproved and hardened his heart shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. And that's what God said. Some of you here tonight in a future day may have to utter these words that are written in the 8th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. God has given you the opportunity of a summertime. Summertime is the time of labor. The summertime of your life, perhaps. Thank God one was saved last night in the springtime of her life. I don't know when the summertime of your life begins. God only knows. I believe it varies with individuals. It may have begun with you when you were 10 years old. It may not have begun with you until you were 20 years old. But God has given you the opportunity of summertime to be reconciled to him. Summertime is the time to learn. Summertime is the time to be instructed. Summertime is the time to be living, and living in a full realization of the responsibility you have to God. Summertime. And yet they have to say, the summer is ended, the harvest is past, and I'm not saved. What's the result of it? I'd like to have you think tonight of three things particularly. First of all, of the wonders, of the amazing wonder that God's calling you. Secondly, of the wonder that God has called you for a long time, and he's calling still. And thirdly, of the terrible consequences if you refuse to heed that call of God. God has given you the summertime of listening to sermons. They've been preached in your presence. God has given you the summertime of having an open Bible in your hand. God has given you the summertime of being pled to by the Spirit of God. God has given you the summertime of Christian relatives, maybe Christian fathers and Christian mothers. God has given you the summertime of privilege of going to Sunday school, of having your teacher tell you about the wonders of the love of God. God has given you the summertime of using your mind and thinking about these things. God has given you the summertime of making a decision. All these things have been given to you by God, but He gives them to you only in the summertime. The harvest is past, and the summer is ended, and they're not saved. I think it was Dr. Truett from Texas that tells the story of having a series of meetings up in northern part of Minnesota. And at his meetings, a young man came night after night, sat in the back row, and every night he watched them. And every time the moment the sermon was over, with tears in his eyes, he walked out the doors and went home. And it came to the close of Dr. Truett's meetings. And again he observed them sitting in the back row. And something seems to tell Dr. Truett, if you don't speak to him tonight, you'll never be able to speak to him again. And as he closed his service with prayer, he gave out a closing hymn. And while the hymn was being sung, he walked to the back of the auditorium. And as the young man got up to go out, he noticed a tear trickling down his cheeks. And he put his hand on his shoulder and he stopped him. And he said to him, young man, I've watched you for 4 weeks now. And I believe God's been speaking to you. Don't you think tonight would be the best night of your life to be saved? And the boy burst out crying, and they went in a small room off the auditorium. And Dr. Truett had the privilege of leading him to Christ. The next afternoon, he got a call from a lumber camp some 20 miles from where he was staying, asking him if he could come up. Some accident had happened. And he went up. And as he came into the lumber camp, on that tremendous saw that he saw the logs with, he found the young man laying, almost cut in two. He got there before he passed on, and as he looked into Dr. Truett's face, he uttered these words. He said, thank God you talked to me last night. What about you here tonight? Are you going to leave this bowl without Christ? Are you going to have to say in a future day, for me, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and I'm not saved? You know what it'll mean to you? It'll mean, first of all, eternal separation from God. It'll mean being separated from everything in which your heart would delight. It'll mean an eternity of unsatisfied desires. It will mean an eternity of blackness and darkness. It will mean an eternity where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It will mean an eternity of remembering, of an awakened conscience, thinking of the past opportunities that have never been taken advantage of. If you leave this world without Christ, throughout the ages of eternity, you'll be thinking of the 14th of July, 1962, when you sat in the church bowl in Yosemite Park in California and had the privilege of receiving the Lord Jesus, and you left without receiving him. That'll mean an eternity of annoying conscience that'll never give you a single minute's rest because you refused him. That'll mean an eternity under the terror of the billows of the judgment of God. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And I'm not saved. I wish I could write those words on every unsaved heart in this bowl tonight. I wish I could have the Spirit of God burning into your memory. That as you leave, and if you leave without Christ, that every step of your journey home, every click of the wheels of your car, those words would be brought back to your attention. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and I'm not saved. Now I don't want you to go away tonight and think for one single minute that I'm trying to scare you into heaven. I wish I could, but I'm trying to call to your attention the terrible danger, the unspeakable chance you're taking if you leave without the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're not hearing what I'm saying tonight. Almost 40 years ago, I sat in an audience, and don't ask me what the brother that spoke on. I couldn't tell you. I didn't hear it, and I don't remember it. But as I was walking out the doors, by the door stood a man about 6'4". He was one of the city policemen. And he took my hand in his. And as I looked into his eyes, I saw the tears streaming down his face. And he said to me, "Henry, if the Lord Jesus should come tonight, what would you be?" It wasn't a sermon. It wasn't the preachers. It was tears of sympathy that brought me to the Lord Jesus. And if I could weep you into the presence of Christ tonight, if I could weep you into the realization of how much you need him, I would gladly do so. Let me plead with you tonight, and I'm going to close with this. Let me plead with you tonight. Let the Spirit of God plead with you tonight. Let the saints that are sitting in this audience that during this last half hour have been praying for your soul, let them plead with you tonight. Flee from the wrath to come. It's coming. Thank God he hasn't told us when, but he told us it's coming. And at the same time, I would like to have you flee tonight into the refuge that God has provided for your soul in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you going to leave here tonight unsaved? Are you going home without a knowledge of sins forgiven? Are you leaving as you came? You cannot. You can leave unconverted, but you can't leave as you came. God will hold you responsible for every single word you heard, for every invitation that's been given, for every prayer that's been offered, for every tear that's been shed. And oh, dear soul, without the Lord Jesus, a boy or a girl or a man or a woman, that's not sure they're going to heaven. Please, for God's sake, don't leave here the way you came. Let Christ into your heart and into your life. and you'll begin to live as you never lived before. Let me plead with you. Let me urge you. Let the Spirit of God into your heart. Let Him show you what you miss by not knowing my Savior. Let God reach you as He reached so many of us for His name's sake. Shall we bow in a word of prayer? Our blessed God and our Father, we thank Thee tonight for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that we heard that God did so love the world as to give Him. And what a tragedy it would be if one who's been within the sound of our voices tonight should find themselves eternally cast out of Thy presence. Our Father, we pray Thee that the words that were spoken may be words from Thyself that reach every heart in the audience. Those of us who know Him may from our hearts rise songs of praise for speaking to us. And those in this company tonight, our Father, who are without the Lord Jesus, reach them, we pray Thee, speak to them, bring them to Him. Give them to realize the tremendous responsibility and danger of going on without a Savior. We ask Thee to bless Thy word to us as we commend it to Thee in our Savior's name. Amen.